Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
There's a wonderful group who meets here at the church on Saturday mornings. It's the men's Bible study. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they've been meeting for 286 years. Is that right? Maybe not quite that long. One of the things that I know this group does, but just a quick aside, any of you would be invited, I think, and welcome to come to the men's Bible study. Jim, what time do you start? 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. Now, this is a pretty inclusive church, so if you are someone who maybe doesn't identify necessarily with that phrase men, right, when we keep in mind gender identity expression, I think you'd be welcomed anyway. Is that fair to say, Jim? Good. And just sort of know that that's the history of that group, so like if there's any hesitancy for you, just show up and share your perspective. I'm sure that existing group would enjoy fresh perspective from new places. Good. One of the things that I know that this group does is they take the bulletin that's already printed by Saturday morning, they take the weekly email that comes out, and they look at the scripture and whatever sermon title I've come up with, and they try to guess what I'm going to talk about. And so today's sermon title, In and Out, I sort of wonder how much conversation happened about that. Now, anybody who knows me, especially if you've gotten to know me a little bit, you have a number of options, right? It could be my favorite fast food restaurant, right? In and Out. When I lived in Nebraska, it's one of the things I miss the most. In and Out. I miss the ocean. I also missed In and Out. It could be, if you know much about me, it could be you know that my favorite band, the greatest rock band of all time, Van Halen, has a song on a record they released in the early 90s called In and Out. Maybe you thought about that, maybe not. It could be you know that I love movies and there's a movie with Kevin Klein that came out called In and Out. How might any of those things have to do with personal and social holiness, which is what we're talking about over the course of these next few weeks? Well, I think we could probably get there, right? The movie In and Out with Kevin Klein is, if you're familiar with the movie, it's a story about a teacher. That's going to connect with our scripture, the teacher part, although I confess I'm not talking anything about the movie except right now. But it's a story about a teacher who has a former student who ends up famous and says on national television, sort of outs his teacher, says my former teacher's gay. Except Kevin Klein didn't know, the character didn't know he was gay. And so the movie is about this journey of discovering who he is, and then he finally comes out in this wonderful way. It's beautiful. But I'm not going to talk about that. You might think about the song In and Out by Van Halen, and it's a song about money, right? And how there's spending of money and owing of money and receiving of money, and how money can be a hard thing and a corrupting thing, but also it can be a thing that we use for good. We can see how we might talk about money through personal and social holiness, but I'm not going to talk about that either. We could talk about the fast food restaurant In-N-Out. You might remember, or maybe you don't know, that there's Bible verses on little parts of the food packaging. On almost everything you get, there's a little Bible verse. So ideas of creative evangelism. You might think about their the company's continual choice to pay higher than minimum wage, pay good wages and offer benefits. And we might think about that as caring for our communities. We might think about good and safe food handling practices and caring for one another in that way, right? These are all things that can relate to personal and social holiness, but I'm not talking about that either. So what does it mean by In and Out? Well, before we get to the scripture in James, I want you to know that I read this scripture in James, but it reminded me of another passage out of the book of Matthew. I think it's the 15th chapter, where Jesus is hanging out with a bunch of people and they're having a meal and Jesus gets criticized, right? And the way the story goes is these Pharisees are criticizing Jesus because his friends and this community that he's sharing a meal with, they're not eating appropriate kosher meal. They're not washing their hands in the appropriately spiritual cleansing way before you have a meal, right? So Jesus is getting criticized because the people he's eating with aren't eating the stuff that people say they should eat, and they're not washing their hands the right way. And you know how Jesus responds? It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles, it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles. So I want you to know that if we read the scripture in James, that that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about our words, about our language, about the way we present our ideas and ourselves to the world and how those things can be harmful. And how there's opportunity for hope. And I got to tell you that the way that James frames it, I don't read a whole lot of hope in it. But I think we can get there. And so I invite you to join me. This is the third chapter of the book of James. James, I can't remember if I said this, James is a short book in the New Testament. It's right after Hebrews, and it's really short. And so this particular section is called Taming the Tongue. My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers. Already I feel sort of anxious, right? First of all, I know a number of you are teachers. And I know that a number of us sent our children back to school where they have teachers. I know that for me personally, I have a lot of colleagues, and I see myself this way too, a lot of preachers identify themselves primarily as teachers. I mean, that's what we do standing up here and blathering for 20 minutes, is we hope that we're imparting information, we're teaching. But do we also remember how much each of us teach? If you have the privilege of being a parent, you're teaching things like how to tie shoes and how to brush your teeth and how to screw the lid on the cup so milk doesn't get everywhere. If you're someone who has the privilege of being in some kind of partnered relationship, you know there's teaching that goes on in both ways in that. If you're someone who has the privilege of being in any kind of relationship, you understand that there's teaching that happens. If you have the opportunity to care for someone, there's teaching that happens. If you really think about it, each one of us is a teacher in some way. And so to hear this opening scripture out of James saying, my brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers. If we think about a pretty good definition, a broad definition of teaching, all of a sudden, we can be filled with anxiety. And then we get to this next part, because we know that we teachers will be judged more strictly. It's not getting any better. We all make mistakes often. Okay, that's good. But those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. I must not be very mature. Oh, we'll get back to that. We'll come back to that phrase because I like that phrase, and I think that there's some hope possible in that phrase. But as soon as James offers us this glimmer of hope, it seems like he takes it away right away. Like a bridled horse, they can control themselves entirely. When we bridle a horse and put bits in their mouths to lead them wherever we want, we can control their whole bodies. Consider ships, another illustration. They're so large that strong winds are needed to drive them, but pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts wildly. I like that phrase. Think about this. A small flame can set a whole forest on fire. The tongue is a small flame of fire, a world of evil at work in us. It contaminates our entire lives. You see the hopelessness? Because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. Anybody else thinking Johnny Cash right now? No? That's okay if you're not. Maybe it's just me. The tongue itself is set on fire by the flames of hell. Oh my goodness. Like, I was hoping for that, you know, glimmer of grace and hope. But James isn't offering us any more of that. People can tame and already have tamed every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish. No one can tame the tongue, though. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we both bless the Lord and Father and curse human beings made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, it just shouldn't be this way. Both fresh water and salt water don't come from the same spring, do they? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Of course not. And fresh water doesn't flow from a saltwater spring either. And that's where our passage ends. Where's the hope? And yet I think in this cautionary scripture, it's right that we pay attention. Our words can do harm. You need to see it? Look around your neighborhoods. Turn on the news any time of day. And look at how we're using our words and our language to divide ourselves. And I'm not just talking about political campaigns, although it seems to be there's an awful lot in those. I'm talking about anywhere. The way coworkers will interact. The way people will interact, you know, if somebody cuts somebody off on the freeway or on the road, look at how we use our words to do harm to each other. Look at the way kids are bullied in school. Look at the ways that we use social media to beat each other down with words. Do you see the power that words and language have? And so while it's challenging to hear this scripture and want to look for some element of hope, we must first hear the difficult lesson that words have power. But you know, I remember other words from admittedly a different book. Let's say that with great power comes great responsibility. If you don't know what book I got that from, it's a Spider-Man comic. And yet there's wisdom. With great power comes great responsibility. And while it's true that we could choose to use words for harm, for evil, for spreading flame of destruction, we might also choose to use our words of teaching, our words of compassion, our words of grace, our words of love, not as flames of destruction, but as the flame of the love of the Holy Spirit available to each of us. Indeed, I submit to you that with the privilege of teaching in whatever way we teach comes the privilege of using words for love and care. I don't think that we should take this scripture and look only at the harm that words can do. But I think we might have the opportunity to look for the privilege of using our words for love and compassion, for building up rather than tearing down. And in James's text, I do believe there's room for hope. As James notes, that there are those who don't make mistakes with their words, but who have reached full maturity. And I line that up with John Wesley's idea of Christian perfection. And we've talked about Wesley before, the founder of the Methodist Church, who said, for those of us who can so empty ourselves of selfishness and fill ourselves with love, we can reach Christian perfection. And it's rare. And it's short. We might find the ability to use our words only for uplifting and love. And then the next minute somebody cuts us off on the freeway or posts something to Facebook that we don't like and we lose what we've done. And we have to work at it again. My invitation to you is this. Be aware at all times of the words we use and the power they have. And make a choice. Make a choice always to work toward sharing words of compassion, of caring, of love, of peace. To proclaim sight to the blind, the release of the captives. To proclaim the ultimate message of grace and love. And to recognize that we won't be perfect every time. That just like our life of faith, it's a journey. And that we get better at it over time. And sometimes reach that pinnacle of verbal maturity, of Christian perfection. Even if we might stumble from time to time. Words have power. Rather than the flame of destruction, choose the flame of the Spirit. Let's pray. God of grace and compassion, God of perfect love. We are grateful for the many gifts that you bestow on us all. Gifts that we might have the opportunity to share with others. And so even as you give us grace and compassion and love, we ask that you give us the strength to choose to share your compassion and your grace and your love so that we might join more fully in your community, that we might journey further on the road of faith, and that we might come ever closer to you. Holy God, we bring all these things to you and any prayers that have been left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.